This is the Simon Dell Show, where we take a deep dive into some of the week's most notable business and marketing stories and interview high-performing business leaders and marketing professionals to find out their lessons for success.
Welcome to the Simon Dell Show. It is episode number 50. And for my 50th episode, I wanted to have my best guests, my best co-presenters on from my past 49 shows. But sadly, none of them were available. And all I got was...
predictable.
All I got was the mother of dragons of co-hosts, Dr. Edwina Luck from QBT, and the Ned Stark of co-hosts, Patrick Condren from some TV channel that we never quite remember. Welcome to episode number 50. Yay!
Woo-hoo! Oh, Tish, yay! Fireworks.
How are you both?
Who's Ned Stark?
Ah, oh, it's Game of Thrones reference.
What? You're going to put off our listeners, Pat?
Do you not? You honestly don't know who Ned Stark is?
He's a very attractive fella.
Did you just Google him, did you?
Much like yourself.
I'm not going to go through the whole plot of Game of Thrones, but suffice to say, and spoilers ensuing here, he dies in the first series, so that's why, you know.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well, you did say
he dies when? In the first series?
Yes. He doesn't make it very far through the Game of Thrones.
But it's Game of Thrones goes for about three decades, doesn't it?
Yeah. They finish him early.
Oh dear! Is that what? You're saying I should finish early?
Anyway, I was mulling over today. This is possibly the worst produced podcast that there must be on the internet at the moment. And nice. I think suffice to say we're doing a good job of proving that exactly right now. But perhaps we ought to talk about some things. So I know you two have been watching the Super Bowl. I know you two have been watching the Super Bowl ads, and I haven't even had time. So can someone pretty much just sum up the Super Bowl ads for me as quickly as possible?
Go for it, Pat.
Beer. Beer right. Is the big winner. Budweiser's back. Carrie Bradshaw.
Stella.
And the dude back with Stella. Right. They've got something, a spiked seltzer meets Shark Tank. These people who made alcoholic bubbly water. God, I want to live in America. there's Michelob, I think, is a beer.
Yes, Michelob.
Michelob, that's a clever ad. It's based around a robot. There's a really weird Michelob ad. The Pure Experience, where a woman whispers into a microphone on a wooden platform in a lush tropical setting. Didn't really get that one. But
yeah, there was a lot of misses, I think, Pat, too. I totally agree with you on that one.
What was your favourite then?
The Close Talker, I reckon. The bloke. It's a Colgate ad. It's an ad for Colgate.
Right.
And Luke Wilson, who's a famous actor. He does a lot of close talking, and he can do the close talking because he uses this particular type of toothpaste. But the beer ones, I really didn't think Budweiser lived up to its previous expectations.
Totally you know, agree.
It was an interesting ad, paying homage to wind power. I thought it had potential when it opened on the dog that appeared to be singing the song.
Right.
On top of the, it just, nothing really sort of stood out as being an absolute rip snorter. But it's interesting that they've released a lot of them now,
right,
a week out from the Super Bowl, I presume, to make, to get as many eyeballs on as possible.
What do you reckon, Ed? Is that the reason?
How bad is that?
Do you reckon that's why they've done it early, just so they can get more views?
But don't they get enough views anyway? And they're paying, what, $5 million for 30 seconds? So I get releasing content early, totally get it. But wow, this is a big thing because it has never happened before, never.
Yeah, I kind of... They must be assuming that there's a bit of a split in the market, i.e. those who will be sitting on Twitter or Facebook watching these ads versus those who will actually be half cut watching this at halftime. And maybe that's the other reason. Maybe it's everyone's so drunk at halftime, they're not even really paying attention.
Well, I got to tell you, if I was spending $7 million for a 30-second ad in Super Bowl 53, I'd want to get plenty of bang from a buck. And if that meant that they're all being released, because it's all about the ads, it's about the content, and it's about how cleverly crafted they are, and that's, you know, part of the Super Bowl experience. Yeah. If you're spending that sort of do-re-mi to promote your product, wouldn't you want to get as much exposure as possible for your $7 million?
And I guess it's not like anyone's going to switch off an ad because they're going to say, oh, I saw this on the internet last week. So, you know, chances are they're going to sit through them again, and it's just going to reinforce.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're sitting there in your, if you're sitting there in your lounge room and you've already seen them on your, on the internet, and you're sitting beside someone, you can, I would presume that the conversation would go something like this: you should watch this ad, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Don't watch this one, it's crap. But they, you know, they're going to sit there and watch it, drink, eating their hoagies and drinking their Budweiser.
Is that what they eat while they're watching these things?
Well, I presume so. What do you eat while you watch sport?
Well, she's disappeared. In. Can you hear Ed? Can you, can we hear you, Ed?
Well, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Nah, you unplugged something, Ed.
You've unplugged something.
Well, the
that's better.
Thing
that's
is,
better. Now you're. Stay near the microphone, Ed. Don't wander off from the mic.
I wasn't. I've been listening intently to you boys chat. The interesting thing is.
She's out the back lighting up a stogie.
Yeah. Don't smoke, sorry. The interesting thing with theory of advertising says that you don't really get the ad until after the third exposure. And so maybe this is a way back to getting back to traditional sort of advertising theory to say, well, people are going to look at our ad the first time and not get it, which we didn't today, Pat, because we viewed those ads. And the third time they see them, and during the game they see them, and then, yeah, maybe they'll then tell their friends about them some more. So, yes, this is an interesting.
Now you've just said that. I think the other thing is, I think the chances of people sharing the content post-Super Bowl is much, much lower than the chances of people sharing something pre-Super Bowl. I think once it's gone, once that Super Bowl event has passed, the ads are then sort of, you know, no longer interesting and no longer shareable. So I would imagine that that's one of the reasons they've shared it prior to the actual event. So
yeah, it's very interesting.
And the nature, the beauty of it being on the internet, subscribing, if you subscribe to Ed's theory of advertising, is that you can watch it as many times as you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But
so therefore, if you were paying the money for the advertising, you would hope that people would play it a couple of times to get the ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're a bit boring, these this year's ads, I must agree with you.
So my next
one, like, right, Ryan Reynolds ads.
Well, I was gonna say, what a segue. What a segue there, Eddie.
Did that you like
was
that?
That was like professional broadcasting shit, that was.
Something that's never been displayed by Simon. No.
Professional broadcasting. two words that have never been used to describe this podcast.
The Pringles ad is good.
Hello, look, we're on to Ryan. We've moved on. Ryan Reynolds, Aviator Gin. That
boring
that,
as veg.
That is a funny ad. That's a funny ad. How can you say that?
It's so
not,
funny.
Not funny. Not funny.
Pat, you thought he was hilarious. You like it.
You thought he was hilarious in Deadpool.
Said I King.
He's very funny. He's very, very funny in Deadpool. This ad was as boring as anything. I just thought it didn't live up to the its potential.
The Ryan Reynolds was, expectations.
Yes, yes. It was not clever in any way.
Well, I thought it was good because he does a great job of poking fun at himself, which this is all the ad is about, and about a real product. So Aviator Gin, we all know that Eddie loves a bit of gin.
I do love my gin. I do love it.
We're going to see.
Eddie loves a lot of gin.
A lot of gin.
Hey, no, I don't like a lot of it, but I can tell you that there are over 130 gins made or distilled in Australia. Ooh. And globally, there are over 6,000. So
well, there you
I
go.
Was thinking, that why has Ryan Reynolds got into this? I mean, Americans don't really like gin. They prefer vodka. But there is a lot of beautiful gins, which I probably need to sample in America. But then I thought, well, is it a celebrity thing? Why is he the first of the celebrities to get into this market? And yeah, if you are listening to the podcast, you need to go to Simon's Insta, Simon Del Show Insta link to see the ad because it's very, very clever. Sorry, Pat, but it's very clever.
No, it's not. It's not clever at all.
Isn't George Clooney got a booze as well? Or am I thinking of
I think he does.
No, the bloke from Pulp Fiction, John Travolta, Dan Aykroyd, he's got vodka in the skull.
How did you go from John Travolta to Dan Aykroyd? What's going on in your brain to link those two things together?
So what, does he have Aperol shares? Does he like you, Pat?
Aperol's the go-to drink. Aperol is absolutely the go-to drink this summer. It even sponsored the tennis in Brisbane this year. Aperol Spritz.
Oh yeah, look, there we go. Look, George Clooney has tequila.
Oh yes,
Casamigos. So, yes, Casamigos.
Okay, so maybe it's a new celebrity thing.
Oh yeah, because he sold it to Diageo for $1 billion.
Oh, stop.
He did not.
He did. Apparently, he accidentally started it as well. So there you go. If you could, maybe we were going to go, what were we going to go into? What were we going to make that Pat was so, that said was going to be so good? Oh, what was
Crystal
it?
Crystal Head Vodka.
No.
Is Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, right. Okay, Dan Aykroyd. But we were going to make
vodka is quadruple.
What was it? It was an earlier show. I think we had the great idea to make something and brand it the three of us. And we thought that could be a celebrity product that we could all endorse.
Hmm.
But given that none of us are celebrities, the basic premise.
Yourself, Pat.
Well,
maybe not. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But Aperol have been doing an amazing marketing job for the last 2 years to really bump up globally their consumption and just acceptance of this beautiful drink. And it's been around forever. Yeah. But they have done a brilliant marketing job. So it'll be interesting to see whether Ryan takes where he takes his aviation gin next heights.
Anything would have to be an improvement because I think it's stalled and is heading down.
It's crash landing. Is that what you're saying?
Crash landing. Yes.
I got the metaphor before you did there.
Actually, anyway. Speaking of crash landings, how has Gillette? How have they?
Oh, Christ. You like that song? Christ, you've done two segues in one show. Fuck.
I know. I'm on it.
There ought to be a medal for that. Anyway, but yes.
Keeping your boys honest, basically. Yeah.
So Gillette, I know the elephant in the room in the last few weeks has been Gillette, and I guess we could, you could sit there and argue endlessly backwards and forwards whether that's a, whether Gillette's advert is an attack on men or whatever it is. But Eddie, what do you reckon?
Well, we probably won't see them in a Super Bowl ad, because they've done so badly. It's just, yeah, look, it was condescending. That's my take on it. It could have worked, but it was too hard of a message and too in your face. That's for me. A lot of the points they made in the ad were valid, but it was just like boom, boom. And it's like, oh, come on, guys, you're not the heroes.
Pat, I'm gonna guess you might have an opinion on this.
Saw the ad, liked it, wasn't threatened. I think the hoo-ha played completely into Gillette's hands. They got maximum publicity from an ad that was innocuous, Right-wing nut jobs went berserk, as I'm sure that Gillette hoped they would.
Yeah.
The left-wing nut jobs responded, and it was all about the ad. So it forced people to go and watch the ad to find out what all the hoo-ha was about. It was designed to sell razor blades. I presume it sold more razor blades, tick, 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 to the advertisers that came up with it. The messages, as Eddie said, the messages that it contained are perfectly valid in this day and age. But, you know, do we want an advertiser telling us this sort of stuff? No. Do we want this sort of stuff taught to our kids at school and home? Yes. But we don't need a razor to tell us that.
I think the two things I was going to say is, number one, Gillette don't exactly have the world's cleanest record when it comes to using women in their advertising. I think there was a lot of adverts or a lot of pictures going around the day after of some of Gillette's previous promotional material that was some very tight shorts with their name across women's butts. Which didn't do them, didn't do them any favors. And you can argue that it was years ago and everything. But again, if celebrities don't get that grace, then brands shouldn't get that grace as well. So, you can't have one without the other. So, but the other thing that I think was perhaps the most frustrating thing for me was it was impossible to have a conversation about the advert without you being labeled in one side of the argument. So if you did think negatively towards the ad, you were immediately a wife-beating misogynist. whereas if you thought the ad was great, then you were one of the men that's trying to, you were a feminist. So you couldn't sit there and
you're a lefty fem-Nazi homo.
Yeah. So absolutely. So which is the big problem with social media today and any of these discussions is there is no middle ground. You can't sit there and go, well, actually, I don't really like what the advert did. And then all of a sudden you get bombarded with these hashtags, not all men and all those kind of things. And I think another example, again, just for those people that aren't in Australia, was Caroline Kennedy's conversation yesterday about, people going on Indigenous marches. And you go, yeah, right, that probably wasn't the best way of saying what it was that she was trying to say. But immediately she's branded racist. And you go onto Twitter, you go onto Facebook, and there is only two camps. You are either completely with her or completely with Yumi Steins, the other side of it. And that's disappointing. Yes. That's disappointing that in this day and age, we can't have an enlightened discussion without people being branded a fem-Nazi or a real Nazi.
Yeah, the world's gone a bit crazy, actually.
Well, I think politics is a part to play in that as well, because these days, it's the politics of the lowest common denominator, and people, given the amount of time politicians are on the TV screens, it's where people take their cues from.
Yeah,
and you look at the bloke that's running Australia at the moment. He's a former advertising executive, so he's fully steeped in the dark arts of the three-word slogan.
Yeah, and I think it's bad for everybody involved. It's bad for, the end result of, you can't have a conversation about, coal-fired power stations these days without, people calling you, a green lefty, and you just go, perhaps we ought not to be building any coal-fired power stations anymore. But, all of a sudden,
I think the labelling's gone so far, and you would see it all the time, Pat, in your career, in politics.
Absolutely. And it's easy, it's easy for people who can't formulate an argument to fall back on name calling. So if you haven't got the facts or the wherewithal to put together a conversation or a discussion about a controversial topic, it's easy for you to be dismissed as a lefty or a right-wing nut job, regardless, by people who are consumers of social media.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, look, that was a very serious discussion to end that for our 50th episode. But, you know.
We might have to have an 88 gin just to celebrate the fact.
We need to tackle these serious issues, you know.
Yes, and congratulations, Simon, on your 50th podcast. Not many last beyond 13, I'm led to believe.
Do you know what? I cannot believe you remembered that far back, Pat. But I tell you what, two awards for Eddie for a segue today, and an award for you for your memory not being as shit as I thought it was.
Hey, Pat, we're getting up the sort of level now. We're doing okay.
The next one we'll be celebrating is 1,000.
Woo. Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, put the award in the packet with the pay.
Make 100. Hello. Let's make 100 first.
I'm investing the pay for you, Pat. It'll pay off in the end. You're getting one big fat dividend.
I've never heard it called that before.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Simon, you're going to be called a fat hater or something now. Oh my God.
Yes. Oh. Apologies to everyone out there. I don't really care. No, I'm going to say thank you very much for both of you being
nice
on.
Work.
And here's to the next 50.
Yeah, absolutely. Huzzah.